Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, and we read from verse 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete.
So last week, Mark kicked off our new series looking at the Apostles' Creed, an ancient statement of faith which Christians across denominations, across countries and across history have all agreed to. It contains the real essentials of our faith. And last week Mark spoke about God as our Father and the Creator of the world. He reminded us that God is powerful, that he's gracious, and that he's personal. And today we're continuing with the next line of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Now there's so much in this statement which we could focus on. We could probably preach at least half a dozen sermons just on this. We could focus on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited Saviour of the people of Israel. Or we could focus on the fact that Jesus is God's Son, fully human and yet at the same time fully divine. Or we could focus on the fact that he was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit and born to an ordinary woman, Mary, who was a virgin. But what we are going to focus on this week is the phrase at the centre of this statement, our Lord. As I said last week, we heard that God the Father is the creator of the world. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians which makes the link between that and what we're looking at this week. It says this: there is one Father, one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. This morning we're going to look at two main aspects of Jesus' lordship: making Jesus Lord and living with Jesus as Lord. So firstly, making Jesus Lord of our life. The Greek word kyrios is used to translate the word Lord over 6,800 times in the New Testament. And when we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying that we are saved by him. Romans 10 verse 9 says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Going through the motions of living a religious life isn't enough for salvation. Being born into a Christian family or in a Christian country isn't enough. Head knowledge alone is not enough for salvation. In fact, in the book of James, it says that even the demons believe that there is only one God. Do you remember King Agrippa from the story of Acts, which we looked at before the summer? He was invited to listen to Paul give his defence when he was imprisoned in Caesarea. And we're told that he believed what the prophets had said. But that wasn't enough to save him. And you may remember Nicodemus. Nicodemus we're told about in John chapter 3. He was a Jewish religious leader, a Pharisee. And he believed that Jesus was a teacher who'd been sent by God. But this didn't mean that he was saved. It was in response to Nicodemus' question that Jesus made one of the most famous statements in the Bible. Verse 16 of John chapter 3. Whoever believes in me will not die but have eternal life. The verse that we read earlier from Romans says, believe in your heart. And this happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful story in Acts chapter 16 which explains how this happens. Paul and his fellow missionary Silas were in Philippi, where they had been unjustifiably arrested, beaten, and chained up in prison. And the story goes like this. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. By believing in Jesus, who he is and what he came to do, this man and his entire household began a new relationship with God. And we too are invited to begin a new relationship with Jesus Christ as a living person. When you first meet someone, the more you get to know them, the more you see and you find out if that person is worth trusting. And if they are trustworthy, then the more you're able to rely on them to do what they've promised to do or to act in ways that you can depend on. John 1, verse 12 tells us, to all who believed him and accepted him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. It's a bit like receiving a guest into our homes. And next week, Mark is going to be speaking in more detail about how Jesus saves us and what he went through in order to do so. I wonder, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? If not, then maybe it's time to consider doing so. And if you're not sure, or you want to explore it further before making such an important decision, then it's not too late to sign up for the Alpha course, which starts tomorrow evening or else Wednesday evening this week. And that course explains what Christianity is all about. The details are on the screen. So secondly, we're going to think about what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. And this is where the reading which Nick brought us earlier comes in. I'm going to read the story again, and this time in the Message version. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes, sir, that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. This story reinforces the fact that making Jesus Lord is not just a formula. You say this and you're saved. Rather, it's a lifestyle recognition that Jesus is Lord of your life. You can't say Jesus is your saviour without submitting to him as your Lord. You can't separate salvation by Jesus from the lordship of Jesus. As we've already mentioned, the Greek word that Jesus used for Lord is Kyrios. And the meaning of this word has a sense of belonging, of ownership. We belong to Jesus. When we say Jesus is Lord, it's another way of saying, here I am, Jesus, I'm yours. In this story in Luke 6, one builder, the one who builds straight on the ground with no foundation, he takes the short view. The other who builds on the rock takes the long view. The short view is, how can I make this work for me today? How can I get what I want now? And we can treat Jesus with this short-term approach by relying on him to bail us out, by praying prayers like, oh God, I've really messed up, please save me. Or, God, I shouldn't have done this or said that, but please can you sort it out for me? More often than not, if we'd lived as though Jesus was Lord, we wouldn't even find ourselves in situations like this, where we cry out to God to rescue us in moments of desperation. When you take the long view, like the builder on the rock, you recognise that the lordship of Jesus provides a foundation that it's worth building your life on. You're willing to invest time and energy to get to know him better, to listen to his words and take them to heart, and to put Jesus' teaching into practice. And when life gets difficult, when the storms come, whether they've been forecast or are unexpected, you won't fall because you're standing on Jesus, the rock. Eugene Peterson defines discipleship as a long obedience in the right direction. And this sums up the message of this story really well. So what does it mean to live with Jesus as the Lord of your life? Well, earlier this week, I asked some of our church family this question. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who responded, sent me videos, recorded their thoughts about what it meant to have Jesus as the Lord of their life. Unfortunately, it's not been possible to include everyone. But let's listen to what some of our church members said this week when I asked them that question.
Well, every morning I make a cup of tea. I sit in bed with an open mind and an open heart and an open Bible. And then Jesus drives my day.
Jesus is my final and absolute authority. So if I don't know what to do in a situation, I ask, what would Jesus want me to do?
It also means saying yes to him and allowing him each day to work in my life by his Holy Spirit and through me for his plans and what he wants to achieve, even though I don't see the whole picture for myself.
I know that I can always depend on God for everything.
I'm totally secure because I know I'm complete in him. He loves me unconditionally and he holds my future in his hands.
One thing, to believe what he says about me, that I'm a new creation. And the other thing is to do what he asks us to do, to obey his words and to love him in that.
It means surrendering to him, giving him my life And because of that, I know that he walks by me day by day. And good days or bad days, he's always there. I can lean on him. I can talk to him.
God is Lord of all. But it's now that when we're having our quiet time and when I'm having quiet moments with God, that he is Lord of our life. And we can give all our troubles. And we're knowing that he is there and dependable.
There's just two words, trust and obey.
Reminding myself sometimes several times in the day that I don't need to live for the approval or acceptance of others or for my own ideals, but rather live for the audience of one, Jesus, my saviour, redeemer and friend. And this influences my daily choices and attitude.
Jesus means simply to me the centre, something to focus on.
For me, two words come to mind, and it's surrender and trust. I look at Jesus, who surrendered everything, and I think there's a call for us to do the same. We need to walk in trust. When circumstances come and hit us hard, it's like, do we trust the good, pleasing, perfect will of the Father, our Father in heaven? I think as we walk in surrender, we will need to trust more and more that he's worth it.
He is in control of the whole of my life and not just those parts that I'm willing to submit to him. However, in reality, I'm inconsistent in submitting and obeying him. And even when I do, I can only do it with the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within me.
I will never walk alone, ever. He's a true companion who understands me through and through completely.
Jesus, as Lord of my life, informs and influences who I am.
One is about baseline. So Jesus is what I base my life on and from. And the other, like Brian, is centre. He's the centre point. He's the Lord who I centre my life upon.
For me right now, that means obedience. And it also means surrender. Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Better to recognise what he wants from you and quickly respond to it.
Whatever happens, he's in control. I can hand it all to him and stop worrying. He created and he sustains the whole universe, and that means me too. So I can trust him for the present and for the future. And the result of this is peace, whatever's happening.
So to live a life with Jesus as Lord is to live in freedom and to grow in freedom. Freedom from the past with its mistakes, failures. Freedom from driving ambition to be something that I'm not. Free to live in the destiny that he has given me. To live under the lordship of Jesus is to be free.
Joyful, wonderful, amazing, beautiful. Oh, so awesome. Yes, it's great. It's amazing. I can't find a word to describe it. It's a just being with Jesus, it's just be somehow in heaven for me. Yes, I love it.
Wow, isn't it great to hear the different things that Jesus' Lordship means to different members of our church family? And the way that everything they said complements what others said is amazing, the way it builds up a picture of this two-way commitment. I commit my life to Jesus and he commits to taking care of me. In his book on the Apostles' Creed, I believe, Colin Day summarizes it like this. The fact that Jesus is not Lord, but our Lord, my Lord, has deep implications for my life. It means I live subject to his love, to what he wants at all times. It means every area of my life, my attitudes, ambitions, finances, home, career, relationships, everything is laid at his feet and made available for him to direct as he knows best. If I'm not obeying Jesus in a practical way, then there is no point in me calling him my Lord. I may fool other people that he is. I might even fool myself, but I will not fool him. Having Jesus as Lord means much more than that he is just someone whose position I acknowledge or whose teaching I accept. It means that in practice, my final responsibility in life is to him and him alone. When I first became a Christian at the age of about 14, and in fact, for the first about 10 years of being a Christian, I saw the Christian life as something that needed to be worked at. I have a very strong sense of duty, and every day I would literally tick off a list of things to do. Pray, tick. Read my Bible, tick. Tidy my room, tick. Be helpful, etc. And I would often focus on the things that I hadn't done and beat myself up about it. So many of my diary entries from that time say things like, I didn't help Mum enough in the house, or I wish I'd been more loving or generous or kind. Of course, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be more loving, generous and kind, but so often I was missing the point. Jesus wasn't and isn't interested primarily in what we do or how we behave, whether or not we do the right thing or fill our lives with worthy Christian activities. He is interested in our heart. And Jesus himself gives us a little insight into how he expects this to work in Matthew 11, which in the Message version reads like this. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In my early years as a Christian, I certainly didn't live life freely and lightly. I'd made Jesus my Lord. I had been saved by him, and I recognised that, and it changed my life. But I wasn't truly living with him as my Lord. In fact, it got to a point when I was ready to give up. I thought, if this is what life with you is like, then I'm not interested anymore. I was actually a missionary in West Africa at this point. But God, as always, was very gracious to me. He showed me that my identity didn't come from what I did, however godly and valid that may have been. It came from who I was in him, as his child. And one day, I had a very vivid picture of myself sitting in the middle of a room. All round the walls were mirrors, reflecting back to me images of myself and my very full and busy Christian life. And then I looked up and I saw God looking down on me with love. And in that moment, I realised that that was all that mattered. He loved me. He accepted me as I was, just sitting there doing nothing. A common expression today is that we're human beings, not human doings. And I find it fascinating that those verses from Matthew 11, which I read earlier, are given to people who'd had enough of striving, of struggling to keep the rules and to do the right thing. And if that's you this morning, then please hear again these words of Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That day in Africa, I recovered my life. So much so that in many ways I look at that point as the start of my real Christian life, the moment when Jesus really set me free to live under his lordship. We read earlier that Jesus is the one through whom we live. How do we do it? By coming to him, walking with him, watching how he does things, keeping company with him. And then we'll learn to live life freely and lightly and bring glory to him. We're going to take a moment now just to spend some time reflecting, thinking, waiting on God. And perhaps you'd like to ask yourself that question. Is Jesus really the Lord of my life? Am I really living under his lordship? Maybe that as you listened earlier to some of our church family speaking about what they understand to be the lordship of Christ, maybe that something jumped out at you. Something that they said which really resonated with you. Perhaps the idea of trusting and obeying, of being secure and free, surrendering, depending on him, saying yes to Jesus, living for the audience of one, knowing that he's in control, that he's at the center, that he holds our future in his hands, that we're unconditionally loved, that he gives us peace, and that he strengthens us to do his will. Let's just take a moment of quiet. You might want to put your hands out and just invite Jesus again to take that place as the Lord of your life and to show you what it is that you need to surrender afresh to him. And then I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are in control. That you are the centre of our lives and that you hold our lives in your hands. Thank you that we can depend on you completely. May we be those who choose to build our house, our life, on the rock, which is Jesus. We choose to come to you as our Lord. We choose to walk with you. We want to keep company with you. Help us to work your words of truth into our lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your freedom. Help us to trust you, to obey you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.